Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to take a look at our Old Testament reading today, 1 Kings chapter 17. You might want to keep that handy. But the critical question for today is this: surviving or thriving? Where are you at today? Surviving or thriving? Let's set the definitions of what it means to survive and what it means to thrive. Surviving means just barely hanging in there. Just getting by, struggling through. Thriving's the opposite. Thriving is feeling fully alive, thinking abundantly. Now, which one would describe you this morning? Don't raise your hand or share anything, but we do want to personalize that. Are you surviving? Are you thriving? And let's come to a let's just be thinking about that as we process the message this morning. What about this woman here in 1 Kings chapter 17? Thriving or surviving? When it came to finances, she was not thriving. She didn't have anything. And the little bit that she had, a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in a jug, was enough for her to make a final meal for herself. And did you catch in the reading? She's expecting to die. That's it. It's over. Socially, she was, you could not say that she was thriving. She was a widow. And that was especially a hardship. We think, just to date this, we think this is about 800, 900 BC, right in that time frame. To be a widow meant certain things during that time period. And throughout the Old Testament, you'll see readings where people are supposed to take care of the widows and orphans and this sort of thing. There's a reason for that. And that is primarily because to get a foothold in society, you needed to own land. And because it was a paternal-dominated society, land passed from father to son, typically male to male. And so widows were completely left out of the equation. Did you know that's the whole reason why it's in the Old Testament? Is there wasn't a system. There wasn't Social Security. There wasn't anything set up by the government to take care of widows. People were supposed to do that on their own. So there you have it. She's a widow. Not thriving socially. There's also this. She's a Gentile. She's worse than a Gentile. It says she's from the region of Sidon. By the way, in the Gospels, Jesus actually curses this region, Sidon. It's a region, Lebanon, modern-day Lebanon, actually, for their unbelief. It's in the Gospels. She's a Canaanite. In other words, she doesn't know anything about the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. And guess what? This has been painted by numerous famous painters throughout the centuries. She doesn't even have a name. Wow. No name. We don't know who this is. The widow of Zarephath is all she is. She also was living during really difficult time, a difficult time period, maybe the bleakest of the entire Old Testament, actually. The king of the day, his name was King Ahab, and this is not my assessment. I'm not here endorsing candidates. I'm not doing that here. King Ahab, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, is described as the worst king of all of them. He's from the household of Omri. Why was King Ahab so difficult? King Ahab let all sorts of religions have their day. He was a pluralist. He set up statues to Asherah and Baal. The real issue with King Ahab is he just wasn't disciplined, and he was nonchalant about his worship, just kind of went here and went there. But worse yet, he married a woman. Maybe you've heard her name. Have you heard the name? Do you know his wife? Anybody? Jezebel. Just saying that name sounds wicked, doesn't it? Jezebel. Jezebel was difficult. She was worse than Ahab, the scriptures tell us, because if she found out that a prophet was a prophet tied to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, she tried to knock them off. She tried to kill them. Can you imagine this situation? Ahab and Jezebel had moments in which they could repent for their sins. They were called out. And not only did they not repent, but they doubled down on their wickedness and their rage. Okay, things are not going well for the widow of Zarephath, are they? The physical climate wasn't good. The text tells us right around this area that there was a 3-year drought. Can you imagine? Not a drip of rain for 3 years. And in a water-dependent region in which you counted on that for drinking water, you counted on that for the crops that are right around the corner, there was no water, there was no vegetation. That's why I'm going to suggest 1 Kings 17:19, maybe the most bleak situation in the entire Old Testament. In fact, the amazing prophet Elijah says, "Lord, take me out of here. I got to escape," he says. He wants out. As we think about what we want for our children and our grandchildren, we would want the opposite. We would want our children, our grandchildren, we would want to thrive economically, socially, whatever it may be. You fill in the blanks. The widow of Zarephath has everything going against her. And if you chose this morning that you are just surviving, barely getting by, it doesn't feel good, does it? It's kind of like the moment I went on a roller coaster in August. Back in August, we went to Michigan Adventure, and we got into the line of a roller coaster, and it was a long line. I didn't think too much about it. We were friends with Alicia, my friends too. But I was talking to the friend waiting in line, didn't think too much about the roller coaster that was about 30 minutes right on the horizon. And then we got closer to the ride, and someone got on, and before they even strapped him in, they said, "I want off." I knew it wasn't going to be a good ride. It was difficult. Then I got into the roller coaster, they strapped me in, and I realized that I needed to come up with a survival strategy. So that's what I did. Going up the ride of that roller coaster, thinking about the big drop, I had to come up with a strategy. My strategy, a really good one, try it. We're talking floor flights, going way up, and then that big drop, I was scared. The strategy was clench teeth and grab onto the seat and close your eyes. I thought if I could just get through that, then I could get to the next difficult moment. And so the next difficult moment was the corkscrew where it turns you upside down for many different turns. And I thought if I could just get through that by clenching my teeth, holding onto my seat, closing my eyes, then I'll be relaxed. And hey, I'm here today. I'm here today. I made it through. But I sure wish I was like the people right in front of me. They were thriving through the entire ride, having fun. Their arms were waving. They're having a great old time. Not me. I was in survival mode. Dear friends, when outside circumstances that are difficult come upon us, I think we kind of do a similar thing in our lives. We kind of adopt a survival strategy. We clench our teeth. We hold on to the seat. We close our eyes. We go up with anxiety. We go down with fear. And our whole life is a roller coaster. And we miss life. That's the sad part of surviving. We miss life.